Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the Trocare College Live Line, he serves as political editor and anchor of The Hill Sunday at News Nation, Chris Steierwalt. We're talking, of course, about the election and Election Day. All right, Chris, it all comes down to this. We have so many people, so many polls telling us it's almost too close to call, or it's a toss-up. What does that mean for the turnout, do you think?
Well, if we knew the turnout, I could project the result with a lot more confidence. But that's the big, maybe the biggest thing that we don't know is what will turnout really be like. Because in 2016, we had one of the lowest turnout presidential elections in modern history. And then in 2020, we had the highest turnout presidential election ever. And we don't know where does the bouncing ball land here. And it's reasonable to think that it's going to land somewhere between the two. So maybe you say it's 150 million, maybe it's 152 million, but which 152 million? The way you can think about this election is that it looks like it's close. And the polls may be right, and it may be very close, or the polls may be wrong, which they have been in every election, right? So we've had some polling misses of more note, but typically, the polls are off, but we just don't know by how much and in which direction. So who are we missing? We've got everybody's bellied up to the bar, every partisan, every Republican, every Democrat. They're ready to go, high intensity. They're ready to vote. Who are the voters that we haven't been able to poll that aren't showing up? In 2012, it was a lot of younger voters, a lot of Black voters, and a lot of Hispanic voters. They put Barack Obama in for a second term, not easily, but by a solid margin. In 2016, those voters didn't show up for Hillary Clinton in the same way, but who did were a lot of working class white voters from places like Buffalo, New York, who showed up in big numbers for Donald Trump. He got the flop card at the end and he won. In 2020, everybody came out. Everybody came out in 2020, all the high propensity voters plus a lot of lower propensity voters. We take some of those away, we don't know which ones. And that's why this is the biggest cliffhanger that we've seen since 2012 or maybe before that.
You know, Chris, why in this day and age does it take forever to count ballots? You know, we used to have answers on election night, except in recent
years.
Well,
you need to go over to Erie and you need to tell the people in Pennsylvania to get it together, man. It's too much with Pennsylvania. These people, it's too much. So Pennsylvania has a rule that they're not allowed to be good at counting votes. It's a real bummer for the rest of the country because the way that most states do it, the effective states do it, is they get everything counted. And then when the poll, all the mail-in and absentee vote, they get that all counted. And then when the polls close, they flip the switch, and there you go. And here's half the vote already counted. That's really helpful. Well, in Pennsylvania, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that because they think that it makes it look bad for the Republicans. So they don't do that. And as a result, four years ago, we had to wait till Saturday before we said the obvious thing, because it wasn't like Joe Biden was going to lose or was going to win Georgia and Arizona and then lose Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania is a lot more Democratic than either of those two states. But I won't say that I'm optimistic because that assumes that we know the future and it is set. But I am hopeful that a lot of lessons learned in these states, plus slightly lower turnout, plus a smaller number, not a much smaller number, but a smaller number of early and absentee ballots, means that we're going to have a faster count. We're going to know the result in maybe not election night, but maybe the wee small hours, maybe like it was in 2016. We had an answer at about 2 a.m. in 2016 on the Wednesday after, And that's certainly possible.
Talking with Chris Steyerwalt, anchor on The Hill Sunday at News Nation. But Chris is also the author of Broken News, How the Media Rage Machine Divides America and How to Fight Back. And, you know, Chris, I'm wondering, now that we've made it to Election Day, how did you view the media's role in this campaign? And what did you see that either, you know, maybe pleased you or set you off or surprised you or something of the like?
Well, one thing that we have to remember is that it's not so much that partisan media outlets are trying to get their party elected and help their party. It's they're trying to keep the viewers or listeners or clickers clicking, right? So the interests of the party and the interest of the partisan media outlet are not always the same thing. To wit, what have we spent the last little bit of the campaign talking about? You're garbage. No, you're garbage. Oh, okay, cool. This is a. I'm glad we're talking about the issues that matter, and that kind of stuff. Does that move voters? Does that affect somebody's vote? I don't know. I mean, there's an argument it can be made to mobilize voters, I guess. I guess you could say that. But what does it really do? It gives the media something to jibber-jabber about. It allows for blabber something to blabber about. And it's not about helping the party. That's just what I would say. When you see a media outlet that seems to have a strong partisan valence, strong partisan alignment, remember that their interests differ from those of the party that they purport to or seem to represent, because they're trying to get paid. Not trying to get somebody elected.
Well, it's been a
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Divided campaign, right? Pretty toxic. What does the aftermath look like? What are you expecting?
Well, as Clubber Lang said in Rocky 2? Was that Rocky 3? My prediction, pain. It's going to hurt a great deal for whoever loses this election. It's going to hurt a great deal for their supporters. And the temptation will be to blame someone else, right? The temptation will be to blame someone else. In 2016, remember, Democrats said, oh, it's Jill Stein. I said, no, it's not Jill Stein. Sorry, guys. It's not Jill Stein. It wasn't Russian disinformation in Jill Stein. It was that people didn't like Hillary Clinton that much. And she was under investigation when they nominated her, and she was not a good candidate. And the Democrats are trying to hold the White House for three terms, which is very hard to do. Okay, so they had an excuse. And then in 2020, the Republicans, they didn't just have an excuse. They had a whole riot about it. They got so mad about it, they smashed in the windows at the Capitol and went potty in Nancy Pelosi's wastebasket. It was a lot. They had a lot of feelings. And they couldn't accept the fact that Donald Trump had been just too erratic, too much, too weird. The COVID thing was too much. This time, whoever loses is going to say, well, it's really Elon Musk's fault. Well, it's really the NBC's fault for putting Kamala Harris on Saturday Night Live. It's really this, it's really that. Instead of doing what is incumbent on us as Americans, which is look at ourselves first. Okay, how could we have done this different? How could we have done this differently? And how could we have been better at this? And in both of these cases, there's a lot of obvious answers. Whichever side loses, we're not going to have to pin it on one rally in Madison Square Garden or Joe Biden's most recent gaffe. It won't come down to that. It'll come down to much bigger consideration.
You know, you mentioned 2016. People did not like Hillary Clinton. In 2020, it did not surprise me at all that people were kind of run down, that we're just tired of the endless news cycle that surrounded the Trump presidency. Does he benefit this time around from whether it's that feeling of, you know, that people had at the polls in 2020 or January 6th in 2021, of all that happening in this kind of malaise of time that, I mean, really, you ask to a person to try and go back and think, what was it like in 2020? Do you remember, like, lockdown? Do you remember looking for toilet paper? Like, and it's almost like as if time didn't exist. Does he benefit from people just kind of forgetting about that whole time period?
All that you say is true. Time is a flat circle, and the pandemic certainly disrupted the way time functions. But I would ask myself this. What is who are we talking more about in the closing days of this election, Kamala Harris or Donald Trump?
I would have to say Trump. But isn't that true for the entire time?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Donald Trump. Did Donald Trump want Liz Cheney to die in war or be killed by a firing squad? Let's debate it. Did Donald Trump say that he wanted the press to be killed, or did he say that he wouldn't mind if they were killed if it prevented him from? Did RFK say that Donald Trump told him that he could take fluoride out of the water if Trump? So what we've had in the past several days is the full churn, right? We've had full tilt. And the only thing, and this has been one of Trump's biggest liabilities, the only thing that the media, Democrats, and Donald Trump can agree on is that every news story about the election ought to be about Donald Trump. Whereas, obviously, it would be much better for Republicans if we were talking about Kamala Harris right now and controversies around Kamala Harris. Because when you have an election between two candidates that are not that popular, Kamala Harris is a little more popular than Donald Trump, but the administration that she's part of is very unpopular, a lot more unpopular than Donald Trump's in hindsight, to your point about the memory hole. People now have good feelings about Donald Trump's presidency that they didn't have at the time. And it's by comparison. So you have these two flawed candidates with their own weaknesses. What you don't want to be is in the news. You don't want to be in the news. So if I was the Trump campaign, I would have frozen him in carbonite like Han Solo, and I'd have wheeled him out 10 days ago. I'd have said, he's working on the transition at Mar-a-Lago, and I'd have frozen him up, and it'd probably been better.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.